The lovely and unhappy 17-year-old king was very bored with his life. Everything in his palace was made of gold. He may have yawned and said, "There's no silver, no bronze, just gold." Everywhere he looked was the same old thing. Gold walls, gold tables, and boring gold dishes. Yet he was alone. Everyone wanted young King Solomon's favor, but he had no real relationships in his whole life. In fact, he later had 300 wives and 700 concubines, and he found no happiness with them. How would he know if anyone cared for him, or if they were after his money? Insincere associations were doubtlessly a way of life. Yet this day, he rode over the meadows, fields, and found new meaning in his life. The first encounter. Let's imagine the story. Once upon a time, this young barefooted girl worked out in the field. Her brown skin glistened as she worked in the garden sun. Her skirt was probably tied up into her belt, and so she could move easily. She had her own garden to tend and care for, just like we have our own spiritual garden. This was a gorgeous day. She touched the fresh leaves and smelled the fragrance of the air. The breeze billowed grain sheaves into the waves upon the hillside. Suddenly she noticed a young stranger riding by on a white horse. Who could that cute guy be? The white horse reared up to a quick stop behind her, and the rider said, "Hey there, how you doing?" The Shulamite turned away to blush and sigh. But inside herself, she thought, "I'm in love." She stands in wonder, just wanting to melt in his eyes. He walked over to her, and it's love at first sight. She whispered shyly of sweet nothings. She doesn't know that he has a kingdom of gold. She loves him for who he is. She loves the fact that he loves her, and he responds. We can imagine them skipping around the meadows, playing tag and picking daisies. "He loves me. He loves me not." Garlands of flowers spring back from under their feet. Not knowing his identity, she sighs. "Your name is like ointment poured forth." Maybe she looks in his face and coyly says, "I tell you what, you are the cutest thing I ever saw." And when they kissed, she said, "Your kisses, they're sweeter than wine." God looks for us to not adore the power he has, nor the power he gives, but rather who he is. Out of righteous couplings emerge godly passion. Our worship isn't supposed to be an out-of-control frenzy, but rather a passionate response from our transformed nature. Passion has been defined as a feeling by which the mind is profoundly affected or moved. Passion moves the mind and the will to action. It's not a war whoop of clamoring, gonging noises, but an interchange of fellowship and communion. It is a two-way connection. When we long for him and he longs for us, he says, on drawing you. And then we run to Him. Through this exchange of giving and talking, we continue to serve and please Him with our lives. This concept, again, is koinonia. The reciprocation and reply to worship. God calls us to know Him in koinonia, which is godly fellowship and intercourse. By understanding their passion, we can continue our story. The Shulamite frolics across the mountain, taunting, "I bet you can't catch me." So he chases her all the more. Then she accidentally runs right into the palace. She stops cold and stares at the columns of gold, the chairs of gold, and the rafters of gold, and circling above, and sobs, "Are you the king? I'm so dirty and brown. My clothes are filthy. I didn't know who you were." Have you noticed that when we see who God is, then we see who we are? "Woe is me, I am undone." Then Solomon strokes her raven hair and says, "Oh, my dove, in the cleft of the rock." Are we there in that cleft? Moses hid in the cleft of the rock when the glory passed by, just like we hid in Jesus. Solomon says, "Oh, my dove, in the cleft of the rock, in the secret place of the stairs or the cliff, let me see your countenance. Let me hear your voice. For your voice is so sweet and your countenance is lovely." You may answer, "God, don't look at me. My dress is all dirty. Sin has made me filthy. I have stains on me. He says, "I just want to see your face. Just let me hear you talk." Imagine, He wants to know all about you and everything you think about. He knows every hair on your head and says, "Don't pull back from me. I think you're beautiful. You're my chosen one." And He caresses her. She blurts, "Oh, Solomon, I'm a nobody, a nothing. Why you would even chase me around the field? What do you see in me?" Then she buries her head in his shoulders. "I want to love you. I don't care if you're king or not. I don't want things. I want who you are. I want who you are." Her response could have been, "Oh, goody, I'm going to get 10 million drachmas and drive a shiny new Mercedes chariot. And just think of the presence." But only His presence, not His gifts, matter. That's why Solomon wanted to give her everything he had: shelter, security, and safety. That's the picture of being in Christ. If we're not within this cleft of the rock, then we're not in the presence of those gathered unto Him, the church. He doesn't care how soiled our past has been. He says we're acceptable. He knows the mistakes we've made and that we're going to make, meaning there's more to come, more mistakes to come. And we don't surprise Him. He loves us anyway. The amazing thing is, He accepts us before we changed. He accepts me before I change. That's why we're able to embrace future change. His acceptance is more precious than diamonds, more costly than fine gold. He pours out His presence into you right now, imparting the gift of His Spirit. The world eagerly waits to see if you really have a relationship with God. Learn to hide in that secret place until others can receive from you. There will be the time when you can say, I have something to tell you. I've seen with my eyes of my heart. And I know Jesus can make your life different. King Solomon wrote 1,005 songs, only one of which remains for us to study. Only the Shulamite pleased him and lingered in his memory. Solomon writes of the only true love of his life, a story that vividly portrays the dynamic church in these final hours. Their names, Solomon and the Shulamite, both mean peace. He describes her beauty as awesome as an army with banners. Together we comprise that bride whose face is like Mount Carmel. The bride shows herself as the ultimate revelation of creation, the beautiful multi-ethnic integration of redeemed believers from every country, people, and nation. St. Paul, that even our uncommonly parts are vital to this complex wonder. In wholeness and togetherness, we're integrated into the great mystery of the body functioning as one. We are intermingled with one another as our individual river streams into the heavenly city. Suddenly, the imminent conclusion of the gospel age breaks to reveal the bride, maturing from adolescence at last. With no restrictions as to race, class, or gender. Having been lodged in the womb of the morning, Psalms 110, we're the candidates for the breaking of the new day. With unveiled eyes, we stand breathlessly before Jesus, who glorifies the Father by finishing his work. It is an ongoing process. He shares with us the glory that he had, and he glorifies himself in us. John 17. The glory once lost returns. The ark becomes reestablished and contained within us. The ecstasy of his nearness brings wholeness. He gives us hidden means and manna, and we become concealed in the cleft of the rock, sealed within the secret place of the stairs. Songs of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 14. We're children of God, and the old age of the last days clothed in the splendor of his might. The taste of the kisses of his lips invoke our internal passions of unabashed praise, because he transcends all others. He releases us to be the redeemed remnant, arrows of destiny, fire pots and spearheads of God. We destroy the evil kingdom, and our feet are upon the footstool of his enemies. There we worship at the finished defeat of all evil. Surely, we're the threshing machine, the battle axe, and the children of the third day. We're the expression of his character on this earth that proclaims the finished work of the cross. Songs of Solomon ask who this is that comes out of the wilderness as pillars of smoke. Why? It's you. It's me. We're in his likeness. The light of the world calls us lights, a city set on a hill, clothed with dazzling armor of light. The sons of the light giver exhibits his character and illuminates the likeness. Deep calls unto deep as we draw out of the heavenlies to receive a salvation that completes our response and our purpose and perfects that which concerns us. We are the shimmering city, stand as a fortress of protection that illuminates the way for others. We arise to dispel the ignorance of the darkened past and the display of His grandeur. Come closer, He calls. Let me show you who I am. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah. In Isaiah 62, verse 4, I will adorn you with honor and clothe you with heavenly light. You shall be called Hephzibah, meaning my delight is in you. Certainly, this illustration restores the pre-fallen Eden paradise. Eden also means place of delight, relationship with God. Delight yourself in Him, and He rejoices. Stand in totality, trusting only in Him, without excuse, without reaction or anger, and without looking for acceptance from others. We accomplish His purpose, becoming a new race that stewards this earth in love, a glorious church, not of ourselves, but because of Him. Winter ends. We find our lover no longer behind or hiding behind the lattice, because nothing separates us anymore. His superior, unchanging, and eternal priesthood seals up inside of us, and we become enveloped in Him. Because of His poured out blood, we are fused together into Him, flesh of His flesh and bone of His bone, having united with one another as one with Him, being in Him and He in us. Ephesians 5:30. It's time to rouse up into the time for love. We awaken to taste His lips that drip with myrrh. Fresh oil gushes from our understanding. We, the comparable helpmeet, are bound to Him eternally with a covenant of love. We're the epitome of God's desires, faint with love and unified by the Spirit of God. Jesus is our all in all. When I had a vision this afternoon of reading that entire chapter, I thought, how can this be? How is this possible that God wants me to just share intimacy from a book? This revelation came to a lady who had a church for 15 years in another country. And Doug Fortune included that chapter in one of his books. And I'm not advertising his books, I'm advertising the love affair. Because she describes the unity and the harmony that should be in us. And when the word came forth, some have given themselves and released themselves to Him and have abandoned themselves to Him. Some are still making decisions. And no matter where you are in your walk with Him, it's okay. He loves you. He knew how difficult it would be for you. And He would give you that freedom to choose every step of the way. But I believe tonight, because of God's absolute mercy, you know, it's not important how long He waits for us. What's important is we've made a decision to say yes. And even to be here for His glory. Do we understand the fullness of the harmony of His joy? Well, I've never had 300 wives and I forgot how many concubines. And I've never written over 1,005 songs. But you know what? Solomon did. And there's only one left for us to remember Him. And it's the love song between the church and the bridegroom. And I said, Lord, how do I convey that message? How do I put this together? And I questioned Him. I questioned Him because, you see, He brought me to 1 Kings this afternoon and He told me to read chapter 4. And I said, Lord, what are You doing? I don't understand. You're talking about Solomon being a king and he's choosing people and he's choosing workers and how he's been supplied with abundance from different nations. Tonight I'm starting to grasp what he's saying because of the obedience of another vessel who made a beautiful CD, my friend Tim Glennon. You know, I don't know how many of you were vibrating under the anointing, but I think it would be wise to show the hands that were receiving. So if you did receive, would you just raise your hand and, you know, give glory to the Lord. And you know, every vessel is important. Every person that God puts together for His church is important. There's not one that can say, oh well, I'm all dirty. Because we were all dirty. And His blood cleansed every single one of us. So there's not one that's higher or lower. We are to be servants of one another. And we are to be in harmony with our King. Our love affair is not about men or women. Our love affair is to reestablish what God intended in that garden. And that was harmony with Him, where He would chit-chat with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening and have harmony together. And the destruction that has taken place over thousands of years is being reestablished and restored. There was a word given to me on Sunday when I was anointed. And I was all excited because I said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You are restoring everything, the cankerworm and the Palmer worm. And I live in Palmer, so that gives you a clue. The Palmer worm knows how to steal. Alright? But God knows how to restore. Amen? And today, there was a nudge in my spirit when I checked the email and there was a word from Tim Clement given back in June. And guess what he says? Restoration. Everything that canker worm. He doesn't even live in Palmer. He lives in California. How would he know what Palmer can steal? But I live in Palmer and I know what you can get stolen from in Palmer. Hey man, you ever got a Palmerites around here? Put your hand over your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, wherever I am, with my harmony with You, I want to go deeper. And I know You're a lot deeper than me. Cry out. Cry out to Me in the darkness of the night. And I will respond. And I'm asking You to come to me constantly. Don't let me run away, Lord. And if I do run away for the wrong reasons, come after me. Maybe I'm not in my right mind sometime. Maybe I get discouraged and overwhelmed. But I'm in my right mind right now. Don't give up on me, Lord. I'm on my way. I want to hide with You. I want to be restored by You. Fully. Into the fullness of what You planned for me. From the moment of creation. In Jesus' name. I pray. Give You what He gave me this afternoon because You've already tasted of what He wanted. But the first thing that I heard was 1 Kings chapter 4. And what I wrote down is, after reading it, the officials, governors, he had 12 district governors. And then verse 21 says, these countries brought tribute and were Solomon's subjects all of his life. Verse 29 was also quite important. It said, God gave Solomon wisdom, great insight, and a breadth of understanding. Verse 31 says he was wise. And my prayer was obviously, what does God want to do with the house of prayer for all nations with this particular message? And if you think I know, I've got news for you, I don't know. All I know is to give you what I've heard. And then, when I came into the office, because this came when I was on the mountain this afternoon. And I get into the office and I opened up my briefcase and I was aware that I was going to need this book today, but I didn't know why. And he told me to go to page 61. And obviously you heard page 61 already as part of what I read to you. But it was confirming about, in that same scripture, about the 1,005 Psalms, and we still have one today. And of course I read page 61, and guess what? It's the same message. So how many times do you need to be hit over the head with a 2x4 before you realize you got what you're supposed to give? But then my question was, how is this going to be done, Lord? Because this is not what we normally do on Tuesday night. And he says, well, what do you normally do on Tuesday night? I said, we listen to you. He says, then listen to me. So close your eyes. Father, now bless these that have tasted. And Lord, give them a hunger for more. Because you're the only one that can take care of these. And you're the only one that brought them into your kingdom. Now, give them the graces and the mercies that they need for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen?